Services. And I'm here today, as Darianna stated, to provide you all with an informational update or presentation on the Community Crisis Dashboard. So I will share my screen. Can I get a thumbs up if you all are able to see it?
Yes.
Okay. So, again, I'm before you all this morning to provide a very brief intro for our Community Crisis Services Dashboard. You'll see before you a PDF that is titled Community Crisis Dashboard for Quarter 4 of 2021. I first want to acknowledge that the information on this document is a quarter behind, and I also realize that this is not generally a committee meeting where quarterly information is reported out. But I did not want to miss an opportunity to come before you all and share what we have been working on. And also that information for the first half of this year will be reported out at the July meeting. So with that being said, this dashboard is a new effort and it is in the very early stages of development. It is being modeled after existing CARS dashboards, and likewise, we're using the framework of the quadruple aim to help identify those metrics that are important to monitor. The dashboard currently displays information that reflects volume of unique clients who received at least one service, and they're disaggregated by zip code, race, gender, and ethnicity. You'll also see in the bottom right corner the average current scores from the three crisis programs that currently have them in use. So that's inclusive of the Office of Consumer Affairs and all of the programs that the peers participate in crisis, as well as CLASS, the Community Linkage and Stabilization Program, and the Crisis Mobile Team, who has just begun a pilot for the first time. We're very excited about the rollout of that for the mobile team. This iteration of the Community Crisis Dashboard does not include data from the hospital-based crisis services. So PCS and observation are not included here. It also, at this time, does not include information from individuals who have chosen to remain anonymous on our crisis line, or from individuals who have crisis line services that have solely been provided by our partners at Impact. So you may know the adult crisis line is done in partnership with Impact, who does an initial triage and linkage to services for individuals who may have social determinant needs or low-level supportive talk. So any of those services that Impact solely provides and does not push forward to the mobile team for mental health assessment and in-person response, that information is not on this dashboard today. Those missing elements that I just talked about and other ones will be added to this dashboard over time as we continue to refine our data collection methods and update our processes. Along with that, there are other programmatic level dashboards that will be rolled out to you as they are refined, and those will be specific to crisis services programs. So comprehensive crisis line information, mobile teams, our outpatient settings, and more. And I will close just by also sharing and giving some shout outs to our team members that Crisis and CARS is collaborating and in the very early stages of some other exciting projects that includes developing a community dashboard and also a system-wide racial equity CQI project. So I want to pause and give a shout out to Jen Whitworth for her leadership and partnership, and along with my LC for his support and direction, and all of our other partners in those collaborative efforts. That concludes my brief presentation, and I graciously accept feedback from this committee or others, whether that be today or as we move forward with standing up those dashboards and developing more from this one.
Thank you very much, Lauren. That's some exciting news and exciting opportunities for coming. So that is great. Thank you for presenting. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, Darian. Thank you, Lauren. Darian?
Item number 5, Community Contract Vendor Quality Updates, Sanctions, Holds, and Service Suspensions.
Hello, committee members, also guests and VHS staff who are participating in the committee this afternoon. I just wanted to give an update. We had previously informed this committee that Whole Health Clinical Group CCS program had to have their referrals to the program placed on hold back on August 6th of 2021 is when we gave them notice due to quality concerns that we are having. I just now wanted to be able to update this board to let you know that we were able to resume referrals to the Whole Health Clinical Group CCS program as of March 24th of this year. We met with their leadership team on a couple of different occasions. The Whole Health Clinical Group CCS program and their leaders created a quality improvement response plan, and they were able to address all of the areas of concern that we had regarding quality. Our audit showed that they continue to improve upon and sustain those quality issues regarding utilization of telehealth, use of their ancillary network, and numerous other areas. But just wanted to let all of you know that they have made those improvements and we have resumed referrals. And so just closing the loop on that previous notification to the board.
Thank you very much, Amy, for the update.
I'd like to ask you a very specific question about a very specific sentence toward the end of the second paragraph of the letter. It says that most notable is that annual reviews are no longer occurring on the same day. That is not what I'm asking about. I'm asking about the fact that care coordinators have stopped providing direct service. Does that mean? And then I'm also very, very interested, since it's the first time I've seen reference to this in a BHD presentation, that there are concerns about overutilization of telehealth. Could you talk? I'm intrigued by what overutilization of telehealth has meant in this context.
Yes. So the first question that you asked, Rachel, is in regards to CCS care coordinators. CCS is a brokerage type care system. So care coordinators provide exactly that. They coordinate the services. They do not provide direct service delivery. For example, care coordinators should not be coming to the home to do med deliveries. They should not be picking up their client to attend doctor's appointments. They should have ancillary providers that provide those services for them. So the care coordinator is to coordinate that, make sure it's in their recovery plan, make sure they have a selected agency and a provider doing that, and coordinate all of the care. So their direct service provision is that care coordination and not the actual services directly to the individual person.
I see.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what that meant.
I didn't realize that.
And so in CCS, what was happening was that the care coordinators were trying to do all of the work themselves,
right,
rather than using a team of professionals to assist individuals. And so they had to work really hard to get their care coordinators, which for many of our service providers, a lot of people have experience being case management care managers. And so you're used to kind of, if I'm working with somebody, I do everything. And so they had to work really hard to work with people with experience in the system to understand now you're doing care coordination, you're coordinating the review of the recovery plan, you're ensuring that all the ancillary providers who are providing those services are having their authorizations in place so that they can provide the services and that you're just a coordinator behind it. And then the other part of your question was regarding the overutilization of telehealth, was that they were not providing enough in-person services.
In your mind, in the department's mind, what qualifies as appropriate use of telemedicine? And could you please give me an example of its misuse? Because I'm very interested in this.
Misuse would be if all services were being provided in this type of...
Only telehealth. Okay.
Yes. So we don't have, a hard gauge saying, like, this percentage should be face-to-face, this percentage can be telehealth. It varies upon the program that's being done and the needs of the individual person. For example, in CCS, the ancillary providers, they they should be doing far less telehealth. If I'm going, if I'm assisting somebody regarding their care and services, the majority of the services should be face-to-face. Now, there are times when some of the services can be done by telehealth. And in fact, for the individual person, they may even prefer it. They may say, I'd rather do it. I'm out going to be out and about doing something else that day. It's easier for me to just be able to meet them. But that also has to be documented. So we try to do it very individualized. But not only, you know, since the pandemic occurred, but now as we're trying to transition back into more of a normalcy of our level of how we serve people, we're really using that to encourage that. Our agencies are also saying, like, we have to start seeing clients more. We need to, you know, respect what people's wishes. If people want to continue with telehealth, let's continue to do that as much as possible, knowing that, you know, every once in a while, we should be seeing each other face-to-face. We have ways that we can do that now safely, and that we just kind of try to promote that with our agencies, knowing that they have to do that based upon the individual's preferences, the level of care and services that they should be receiving. And so in this situation, it was where, you know, we had just identified that there was a lot of telehealth happening when it really did appear that people needed some face-to-face services and assistance.
So, I have a request that surpasses my responsibilities as a member of the Mental Health Board. I would love to see somebody write a paper about that, about the suitability of telehealth for the work of BD, you know, for your work, as well as the importance of the face-to-face. I would love to see that. And that's really none of my business.
Well, but in you bringing that up, you may have perked the, you know, the interest of somebody.
Right.
So I'll put it out to our team and see if there's some interest there of putting something together. And, you know, I wonder if maybe there's something, Kathleen may even have some ideas of some information to be pulled for the board members about telehealth versus face-to-face services. But I will follow up and see if we have some interest in that.
I think it's a very important topic, and I think it could be very, very helpful educationally for citizens, for all of us, for the entire mental health community, and, you know, for people to use the services. I think it's, you know, I'd love to see that.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Amy.
And I see that Kathleen has already responded to Chicken Out, so.
Great. So helpful.
Great.
Thank you very much for the update.
Gabrielle.